I'm an act. My name is Eric.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to be, especially grateful to be clean today. I'd like to thank the retreat for having faith in me and inviting me up here to share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. I feel it's one of the foundation principles of our program, and I'm grateful for that. So, growing up on the streets in Brooklyn, as a young boy, it was very hard to capture the concept of what surrender meant. Because, you know, I used to think, like, when you surrender, like our speaker shared, and thank you so much for your message and your hope that you shared, it meant that I was a failure, or I was a punk, or that something or someone got the better of me. You know, I never wanted to surrender. I thought surrender meant that you were going to become a victim somehow. I mean, I remember, you know, even at the last minute, with my hands handcuffed behind my back, you know, the second their heads turned, I'm gone. And, like, I wasn't done. I did not want to go away. I was not giving up. I never went quietly to do anything in my life. You know, it was always a struggle. And they say, like, you know, you can go soft and quiet, or you can go kicking and screaming with claw marks on everything. And that's the way I always wanted to go. And I recall one time my buddies and I, like, set up this thing, and we were, you know, we had to get through this, like, 4-foot concrete wall to get what we wanted to get on the other side. And everyone just gave up. Like, I had my eye on the prize. I wasn't giving up. I had a rubber mallet. I sat out there for 18 straight hours and chipped away at a wall, you know, in a crowded New York City street alleyway. And, you know, I just never wanted to stop, ever. And I never wanted to stop using, ever. And I knew, I remember, like, I think, I don't know if anyone else has this experience. Mine was, I remember one day recalling, like, all my issues related back to my using. I think a little differently today, but back then I remember sitting on a jail, like, even when the bars were closed, I was like, how can I get out of here? You know, like, and I was good at it as a kid. I was in Max Juvie. I got out of that. You know, I was, like, always trying to escape and always trying to, what I thought was freedom. And, but once that I realized I could not get out and I had to give up, and there was no other alternative, you know, I started to think, like, how did I get here? And what am I doing with my life? And I remember the day sitting on that cold metal bed that, you know, I thought, wow, my using, my desire to use no matter what, like, always put me in this situation. And such a painful place to be, because I wanted to stop, but I don't know how to stop. And when I was first introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, I felt something. A seed was definitely planted, but I had so many reservations. I couldn't understand, like, our lingo. I couldn't understand what you guys were really saying. I didn't know what was important, what wasn't important. You know, what part of my personality do I have to give up to stay clean? I thought that you just come in here and you just don't use, that everything is automatically okay. And I really expected that. And I had to learn the hard way that abstinence does not equal recovery. That would mean, like, someone coming out of a solitary confinement for 9 months is, like, all 9 months clean and all spiritual and all that. I know when it happened to me, I was out of my mind. I came out even worse. But there was something happened. Like, I remember the moment I said to myself that I bet that if I did every single thing that they suggested in NA, that my life will get better, that I won't have to keep getting high. I remember that moment. But still, you know, like, it's such a paradox, because, you know, surrender to win. It's so hard as a person with the disease of addiction to give up in anything. I mean, obsession is such a powerful driving force. I mean, an addiction is so powerful that when they say in our literature we reduce to the animal level, know, I always think and say we reduce lower than the animal level, because animals have an instinct in them, an instinct to live, an instinct it's time to go to sleep, an instinct it's time to go eat, an instinct it's time for some companionship. Like, that was robbed, you know, an instinct to survive. And that was robbed from me, and no matter what, I would just use and use. And even with, like, life-threatening consequences and so much damage, I would just keep on going there. So, like, when they said, like, if you put 50% of the effort into your recovery of what you did in active addiction, that you would have a pretty successful recovery, like, I wanted some of that. And I thought, well, I'm glad they don't say 100%, because that was tiring. That was hard out there. Hi, I'm in the city. I don't know. I don't have any money, but how do I get money, a place to stay, and get high tonight, like now? You know, we find ways. Like, yeah, he uses, she uses, that's a place, that, you know. And, like, I had to find something. I had to make the decision if I was in or out. I remember the first time I was hanging out with some pretty bad guys out there, and I was very young, and they stuck a gun in my hand. They said, Eric, here's what I want you to do. I want you to run into that pharmacy, jump over the counter, put the gun up to the guy's head, and tell him you want this. And I was scared. I never did anything like that. I was young. They were a lot older than I were. They were some of the most ruthless murderers I've ever met in my life. And I wanted something that they had. They seemed like they had no conscience. They didn't care about anything. They went through life and they had no feelings. And I wanted no feelings. And I didn't know that there was drug empowering that behind the scenes at that time. But when they said, hey, we want you to do this, kid, when I ran over there and I said to myself, either you're in or you're out. Either you do it or you don't. If you don't, you run and never come back in. You hide. Or if you do it, just do it and get it done. And you can't go over the counter and say, oh, you know what, I changed my mind, I'm sorry, sir, you know, I apologize, you know, just ignore me, you know, don't call the cops, I didn't really do it anyway, you know, it's like too late. And I would ask myself like that when I came into recovery. Eric, are you in or you out? Like, if I surrender to this way of life, if I am actually giving up, why do I do things like I would do when I was on the street? Why do I look the same way and act the same way and speak the same way and do the same things and think the same way as I did when I was out there? So either I'm a recovering man or I'm not. Either I'm changing or I'm not. And I don't like to do half-step stuff because it never got me anywhere in my life. Like, either, Eric, are you in or you're out? Am I going to do this 100%? And, like, surrender has a power to it. And it keeps, the longer I stay clean, I got clean in the 80s, in the late 80s, like 6 months almost to the 90s, so in 89. And, you know, there's so many situations I've been to where, in my recovery, where I've deepened my surrender by just giving up different aspects of something, which I'm going to get to. Like, something, I have to give up. Like, I think about, like, what happened during World War II, and don't quote me because I'm not a history buff, but in World War II, like, there were countries that surrendered. And they said, okay, well, we're going to keep our military. Oh, no, you're not. It's unconditional surrender. Like, either you surrender everything, or we're going to be eating sushi for breakfast. You know what I mean? Like, you have to surrender now. And by surrendering, they became like a world global power. And I think of that as to myself. Like, by surrendering, I get the help I need. I'm able to build myself up. And the line that comes through my head often is like, I can't graft a new idea on a closed mind. And I have to surrender my thoughts as well. I have to address my thoughts and address my defects and my shortcomings the same way I did with even picking up. And that deepens my surrender, because the deeper I surrender, the more freer I become. It's like responsibility. I used to think responsibility was a burden and it was a chore. It's like, oh my goodness, I got to do that. Oh my goodness, I got to pay $900 a month for health insurance. You know, like, wow, yeah. But you know what? I can go to the doctor today and I could be taken care of and I could take care of my family. Oh, you have to pay the rent, the mortgage, whatever it is. Like, yeah, now you have a safe room, a house over your head. Like, there's freedom in that. Then there's freedom in surrender. So I'm such a stubborn guy. You know, sometimes I just want to apologize, like, how pig-headed I am, because I am so pig-headed. that it takes sometimes the same nuclear blast that it took me to get clean to change something in my personality. It's such a, recovery is an ever-changing experience for me. From getting up and saying, you know what, I quit. Like, I remember this, my buddies wanted to teach me surrender when I got clean. So what they did was, big guys, like, I'm not that big, but these were huge, recovering for a long time, good belly guys, right? And they sat, like, two sat on my legs, two sat on my arms, one sat on my back, and said, okay, get up, Mr. Powerful, and see what happens. And you know what? Like, I struggled, and I fought, and they were laughing, and I was getting madder and madder and madder, and no matter what I could do, I could not get up. And I was so new, I wanted to kill everybody by the time they got up, and they were laughing at me. They're like, yeah, see, that's what your disease is. Like, where's your disease? Like, you cannot control this. And I think the more I understand how deep my disease affects me, the freer I could become. The more things in my personality that I surrender to, the more. See, like, I think the only thing I really have to surrender is my self-will. Because my true will for myself, like it talks about in step 11, is really to be happy, joyous, and free. Now, sometimes I get a little distorted on what that is. But, like, that's what I always wanted my whole life. Even when jumping over the counter over there. Even with doing that stuff out there, robbing, ripping, and stealing. Like, I thought I needed that to be okay. I thought I needed use in order to be okay. And I come here, I realize I'm going to be okay no matter what. But I have to stop fighting to try and control the outcome of these situations. I just don't have any control over. You know, we planted a vegetable garden this year. You know, yeah. I bought all those bags of soil. They're like 150 pounds a piece. And we filled up this big garden box and planted the seeds. And, you know, we water them, fertilize them. And like, really, that's all I can do. Like, if they germinate or not, that's not up to me. And, like, I think so much of the third step, it's like, it's almost like I'm like pushing shoulders with my higher power, saying, okay, I know I'm powerless over my addiction, and that when I exert power over it, or try to, my life becomes unmanageable. And the second step, like, I need a second step because it's so powerful. Even after looking at all those consequences, I'm still driven to take my will back. So, like, I could be restored to sanity, but that's dependent on my level of surrender in the first step. The deeper I surrender to it, the more sane I become. But even with that, like, I have to sit there and like, white knuckle it sometimes and say, you know, okay, God, okay, higher power, like, I'm not going to do what I think I always wanted, that I know I've done my whole life, because I want something different. And like my sponsor said, if you do what you did, you'll get what you got. If you want something you never had, you got to do something you never did. And that's scary. I never did this stuff before. I've never lived this day before ever. Why would I pigeonhole my day? Oh, this is how it's going to be. I'm going to have a bad day. Oh, I'll never get through that. I mean, I gave up on that. It's like, remember when I was using, I used to throw my paraphernalia out and say, I'm never doing that again. That's it. I give up. That's it. I'm done. And then I'd be back in the garbage or back in the bushes and I'm looking for stuff. And I gave up throwing it away because I hated going downstairs to the garbage because I lost 15 minutes of using time. Like, I'm not going to go do that. So, like, it's the same thing with, like, I'm not going to fight this anymore. Like, I know, like, it's going to be okay. I've gotten through so much stuff in my life since I've been here with so many people's support and surrender of trying to, like manhandle, like, and punch my way through life. Like, I want it to be that way. I want that to happen that way, and I want this to happen this way, and I want that to be that way. And, like, it's like, whoa, stop for a minute, Eric. Like, take a step back. In the third step, for me, it's like, okay, God, I'm turning my will, which is my desire not to surrender, actually, my self-will, I'm turning that over to you. And I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm terrified. But I'm going to put myself into your care to see what happens. Like care. To me, that's the most important word for me personally in the third step. I need to know that I'm going to be cared for. Because until I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I felt no care in my life whatsoever. It was all false care. Oh, I'm in the care of this bag or whatever, or that person. And, you know, it wasn't until here where I learned what unconditional love was and started building some beautiful, beautiful relationships and growing through that stuff. Like, I need to know I'm going to be okay if I don't, if I surrender and don't act out on that, if I don't tell that lie, am I going to be all right? If I stand up for this moral in spite of how I feel, and what are all the guys going to say when they say, oh yeah, well look at her, she looks good or whatever, and she's like suffering over there. And I'd be like, hey guys, really, you got to talk that way? Give her a freaking break. Like that, to me, like that puts me on the outside. Like I want to know I'm going to be all right. I want to know like I'm going to be in the care of God. I'm going to be able to like become the person that I've always dreamed of becoming. And I tell you, if I had a roadmap of like how I wanted my life to be and someone handed me a blank journal and said, Eric, go ahead, do it. Okay, go for broke. Write your movie script. Do whatever you want. Do little acts of surrender and a lot of tears and a lot of freaking journals and a lot of calls to Tony W. in Charleston, South Carolina, who's my sponsor, and my friends and the guys I sponsor. Like, I could never have created the story that is my life today. Ever. Ever. You know, my little baby, Jory, when he doesn't want to be held, it's like holding a 28-pound slab of Jell-O. I mean, he flails all over the place, and you know, all I want to do is just hold him and let him know it's going to be okay. And I'm exactly the same way. Like, I'll fight against the care. I'll fight against the miracle on the other side. And I've learned to fight less today. Now, to win, you know, I don't think there's any losers in NA. There may be some slow winners, but there's really no losers. You know, it just takes us a while. Like, I was one of those slower winners. But I carried a message when I first came in here. My first meeting in Brooklyn, I remember this guy, Art. Okay, who I used to beat up all the time when we were kids. Like Art would say, yeah, if you want to stay clean, you see that guy over there in the back? Just do exactly the opposite of what he does. And I thought those were fighting words. And yeah, I wasn't asked to come back to that place. But everyone would meet me outside and talk to me. To win today means that I'm a success to myself. You know, I have a life today that society and some people actually admire. I admire my own life today. I have the most amazing family I could ever have dreamed of. I have the most amazing situation I could ever dream of. I'm employable today, all through surrender. You know, all through little choices that say, you know what, I choose to live in a higher space today. I choose to live, you know, become the best Eric. Not the self-centered will that's my self-will, but the God's will in me that is my will. To align myself with the will of the God of my understanding. To say, you know what, I want to win. I want to know, I want to suck the marrow out of life. I want to know what I can get out of this thing. Because I didn't get clean to walk around and look down on the ground and kick the rock in front of me and say, God, you know, I wish I can get, you know, I choose to get to stay clean today. I choose to surrender today. I still choose 26 years later to say, God, please help me stay clean today. God, thank you for helping me stay clean today. And a million prayers in between. Because I'm terrified of getting high again. I don't want to get high anymore. I'm so sick of it. You know, and I've seen people stay around here, you know, and then end up back out there because they forget how powerful the disease is. You know, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of my recovery. And I never want to not think that any other way that other than that. Because there's so many beautiful things in the world and so many things that I want. I know in order to get that, I have to get out of the way. I have to keep surrendering. And I think I'm kind of about done. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we please have the reading just for today?